Since 2004, the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma has been operating as an administrative processing facility for undocumented immigrants. In early April, detainees began a hunger strike to protest inhumane conditions in the facility. Their complaints included that they were being served beans and rice at least 6 days a week. They were not allowed access to clean uniforms, and many of the women had gotten infections from wearing the same pair of underwear for weeks at a time. Additionally, detainees complained that they were being forced to maintain the facility themselves for a dollar or less per day. During the second week of the hunger strike, I traveled to Tacoma to offer support and to learn more about the situation. Outside the detention center, I met Bill and Ann, volunteers with Aid Northwest, Advocates for Immigrants in Detention, Northwest. Bill and Ann operate out of an RV parked right outside the detention center. The inside of the RV is decorated with beautiful handmade crafts given to them as gifts of thanks from detainees who have been released. Ann tells me that hearings usually happen late in the afternoon, but they never know whether detainees will be released or not.
It's 6 o'clock already and no one's come out. So that's not so good.
Most people are deported. Yes. The vast percentage of people inside are deported. Very few come out.
The services we offer include access to a telephone and communications with either their attorneys or their families or whoever else they might need to contact. And then just some light, some refreshments, and so that they can just sit and gather their thoughts. And I guess almost everyone needs a backpack or a small duffel bag so that they can carry their meager belongings with them. And then we have these donated clothes so that they can have a little more dignity when they travel. Also shaving kits and women's female supplies, things like that, that they're going to need. Because obviously this place was located so far from anywhere where they would have those kind of resources.
The detention center is situated in an industrial area of Tacoma's Tide Flats. It's so inconspicuous that Ann tells me many people who live in Tacoma don't even know that it's there. And it's a long ways from anything that a person might need when being released from detention. No bus lines, no gas stations, no payphones. As I'm talking with Bill and Ann, a large bus with a GEO logo pulls up to the detention center. GEO is the corporation who owns the facility. We get out of the RV to watch as the bus pulls through one barbed-wired gate and then another. Ann tells me that GEO makes $137 per night per detainee they bring into the facility.
We could be much cheaper keeping them at the Motel 6. But no, it's GEO. GEO gets the money, and we pay it. And their contract, they have a 10-year contract. It was renewed last year. It's criminal, really.
Outside the barbed wire fence surrounding the detention center, Northwest Detention Center Resistance has set up an encampment to show solidarity with the detainees. I talked with Maru Mora, who is in her second week of camping out here in support of the hunger strikers.
We're right now in an encampment outside the detention center. The largest detention center for immigrants in the West Coast, one of the largest throughout the nation. This place has grown in the past 13 years, three times. Now the maximum capacity is 1,575. So the place is at capacity, is the only one in the Northwest. So we have people from everywhere in the nation, really, not only the Northwest, coming to Tacoma. We are undocumented-led, detainee-led, deportee-led. We believe that the only way this place is going to disappear is from the inside, having the leadership of people currently detained telling us how to fight this place and ensure it's gone. So what we want to do is to bring attention to this, to remind everybody deportation doesn't solve absolutely anything. When people say, oh, they committed a crime, so what? That's supposed to be solved by the criminal system.
In fact, many of the detainees here are not criminals. They are people who have been stopped for routine traffic violations, like having a taillight out. The likelihood that the police will act as immigration officers creates a fear that causes barriers for the criminal justice system. The 1,600 people detained here are not criminals, but the conditions they are forced to live under are inhumane.
The government has a problem with us not working with a valid social security number, but they have no problem having working people there for a dollar a day or for nothing. They have chosen which part of the criminal system to use within a civil system, but they decided not to give us the few rights that you have in the criminal system. We don't get a free attorney. We don't get a free call. right now people are not getting even hearings. People have been complaining about their hearings being postponed for months. So it's the perfect system to build a machine where people will be placed. They will make money out of their bodies and their families that need to be placing money every week so they can survive inside. And then they will be disposed of them by deporting them. So at the end of the day, detention, deportation, it only benefits corporations. They don't care about human rights, and they don't care that people know that they don't care. So we're not pretending to negotiate with a fascist regime. There's nothing to negotiate with them because freedom is not negotiable. We need to change the culture that believes that people need to be placed in cages. There's so many ways to solve problems when somebody makes a mistake in our society. What kind of society are we that believe that people should be caged? We cannot allow this caging of bodies inside while their families are outside not knowing how their loved ones are inside, what they're going through. This is nothing but torture.
I met one of the families of a detainee outside the detention center, a young mother and her 3-year-old boy. She declined an interview for fear that there would be consequences to her family. But she did tell me that she drove up that morning from Oregon and had been waiting for 3 hours, not knowing whether her husband would be released or not. She said she didn't know why he was there, but had been contacted by an attorney who said he might have a hearing today. Moments after talking with her, the gates behind me opened and a young man walked out. Immediately, the little boy jumped from the back seat of the car and ran across the parking lot, into the man's arms. The scene was overwhelming, a happy reunion under devastating circumstances. He was the only detainee released. Maru tells me she believes it is within our power to shut the detention center down.
We are calling for the public opinion to be here, to be present, to say we need to change this. We can change it. We created it, right? We allow for that creation to happen. Therefore, we're able to undo it, to dismantle it, and create something totally new. There's societies in the world that don't rely on these kind of systems. Nowadays, you can have an opinion, but if you don't express it, it's not worth anything, right? You need to say it, you need to be out there, you need to be public, because these systems rely on people being quiet, people being accepting of the conditions, or people being afraid. We believe that this is a very critical moment in history where people actually can participate. I've always thought to myself, what is going to happen in the future when you see, you know, what the history was for this country and your children ask you, where were you? And you say, I don't even know where I was. And you are responsible for whatever outcomes we live at that moment.
For Cascadia News Now, I'm Liz Darrow.